come just expecting God to speak to your heart this morning, and I pray that he will. Brother Travis asked me a few weeks ago if I would speak today, and when that happens, I start praying then, Lord, give me the message you would have, first of all, to speak to me, and then to our congregation, the people that's here. And so almost immediately, and it doesn't usually happen this way, but almost immediately, the subject we're going to talk about today is, it came to mind. And every time I tried to veer from that and look at something else, I would always come back to this. And so finally, I said, okay, Lord, this is it. And so that's what I've been working on. The title of our message is Dealing with Temptation, something that we all deal with. And we need to know, have some tools to deal with that when it comes. And our text this morning is Genesis chapter 39, the first 12 verses. Genesis 39, 1 through 12. The Bible says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Let us pray together this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here today. And Lord, I believe that you have something for all of us today. And I just pray that you will help us to have open hearts and open minds to your word. And I pray that you will speak to each one of us. Help us, Lord, to hear what you have for us. And help us, Lord, to put those things into our daily walk with you. Help us, Lord, to be able to leave this place today rejoicing that not only have we been here and been with friends and fellow Christians, but Lord, we've met with you and you've spoken to our hearts. Bless those that are not here today. You know, those who are traveling and ministering another place today, we pray for your blessings upon them. We pray for those who are not here because they are sick or not feeling well. We pray for them and pray for your healing hand upon them. Lord, again, thank you for those who are here. And we just pray that you will speak to each of us today, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Temptation is real. It's something that we all face every day, but it's a process. Remember the story of Achan in Joshua chapter 7. When Achan saw something that didn't belong to him, he wanted it. And he said he coveted it. He desired to have it as his own, and he went and took it as though it were his own. Eve took the same tragic steps in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. David did the same thing in his sin with Bathsheba over in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 12. And the process hasn't changed in all these years. Achan saw, he wanted, and he took. And the same thing happens to us. We see something, we want it, we desire it, and we sin. And that's how temptation works. That's how we get caught up in things that are wrong. And as I was preparing this message in the last couple of weeks, I thought of men and women who were once leaders in the Christian walk, in the Christian field. Even some of those were Free Will Baptist leaders, people who served the Lord and were very faithful and doing a great work for him. They're not doing it anymore because they gave in to temptation. They sinned and they lost their ministry and they lost their families a lot of times and everything that was dear to them. And I imagine that if we had been able to go to all of these people and say, in 1 year from today, you're going to sin. You're going to ruin your ministry. You're going to lose everything you've got. They would have probably denied it and said, no, that's never going to happen. But it did. They crossed a line. They were tempted and they gave in. And it ruined their ministry and other things as well. At some point along the way, a line is crossed that leads to destruction. In the scripture we just saw, was one event in Joseph's life. And as you read that story, think of the model that he is for each one of us. He was faced with an awful temptation. But yet he was strong enough to say no. I love his answer. He said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Here was a young man and had all the desires and things that other young men do, but he had made a commitment to the Lord. And no matter how tempting it was, he realized that that sin would first of all be a sin against God. How can I sin against God? That's the voice of a believer listening to his conscience. That was the voice of a man who realized that the sin would first of all be against God, the God who had kept him and protected him. I mean, he was sold into slavery by his brothers, and look where he is now, second in command of the whole land of Egypt. God had blessed him. Here was a man that loved the Lord. What a great testimony. And we ought to strive to have that same testimony, that we too have withstood temptation, that we have not given in to sin. So this morning I want to take a few minutes and just talk to you about some simple steps in dealing with temptation. I don't have anything new to tell you. It's things that we've always heard, but sometimes we just need to be reminded of things that we need to do. So first of all, we need to realize that being tempted is not a sin. Some people have a real problem with that. They think, you know, if I'm really right with the Lord, if I'm really where I ought to be, why am I having these thoughts? Why are these things such a temptation to me? But we need to remember that the temptation is not the sin. The sin comes when we give in to that temptation. The word tempt means to ensnare or to lead astray. And so the temptation we're talking about is whatever Satan puts in front of you to try to get you to sin against God. And we all face temptation. Every person in here faces temptation. And the key is to recognize that it is temptation. And once you see that, you stand a better chance of not giving in to it. It's easy to let our guard down when we think that we've got everything under control. You know, I'm so high up now, there's no way I'm going to do that. No way I'm going to sin against the Lord. But it's during those times that Satan can catch you off guard, and the next thing you know, you've given in to temptation. In 1986, a man named Gordon McDonald, he was the president of the Inter-Varsity Christian Fellowship. This was something like Christian athletes, but this was for on just about every campus in America. but it was an organization that was to help students and employees of the colleges and universities to follow the Lord, to live right. And it was a great organization. I read this week an article where they're being disbanded from several colleges because they won't support the LGBT and the rest of the alphabet stuff. And so they're not, they're being exclusive, and so they don't like that. So they're disbanding them. But this Mr. Gordon, fine Christian man, he was well respected all over America. And one day in an interview, he was asked, if Satan were to blow you out of the water, how do you think he would do it? And Mr. McDonald thought a minute, and he said, I'm not sure, I know. He said, I guess there's all sorts of ways he could do it, but there's one way that I know he would never get me. He would never get me in the area of my personal relationship with my family. That's one place where I have no doubt I'm as strong as you can get. 2 years later, this respectable Christian leader was a broken man. He had committed adultery and lost everything that he had. Can I tell you this morning, Satan is out to get every one of us. He wants nothing more than to tempt you and get you to give in to what he is trying to get you to do. He doesn't care how spiritual you are or how secure you are in your Christian homes. He's going to tempt us to sin, hoping to lead us away from God and our families. There's not a man, woman, or young person in this building that he does not want to deceive, that he does not want to tempt you to the point that you give in and sin against the Lord. But remember, the temptation is not the sin. It's when you give in to that temptation that it's a sin. The second point, temptations are not all powerful. Does God tempt us? Does he put things in front of us to try to get us to do sinful things? No, absolutely not. James 1, 13 and 14 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Look at that last sentence again. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Temptation involves two things, James says. First of all, it is our own lust. And the definition for lust is craving or longing for something that we shouldn't have, something that God doesn't want you to do because he knows it will hurt you and harm your relationship with others. But that's just the first element. The second thing, James says, is the enticement. And that's the bait. This is the lure that Satan puts in front of you to get you to take part in it. I was thinking this week of examples, and I'll just give you a couple of them, but just like you hear all these things about all these adult websites, and you think, wonder if they're really as bad as they say they are. And you every once in a while that thought comes to your mind, and one day you're all by yourself, maybe at home or in your office, and the door's closed, you're all by yourself, and you think, well, I'm just going to look and see if they're like what people's talking about. And I'll just stay on it just a second, just see. And you do. And you see that it is. But you know what? The next time you're tempted, it's not as hard to say no. Each time it gets easier until you are just absorbed with it. I was thinking about our young people. You go to school. And you go, it's test day. And you studied, you're prepared for it, you know all the answers, and you start taking the test. You come across one question that you know the answer to, you remember talking about it or studying it, but you cannot remember the answer. And you sit there and you study, you think, what is the answer to that? And all of a sudden in the corner of your eye, you see the person next to you who's a straight A student and always does everything right, and their test is on the corner of their desk. And all you got to do is look over there, just cut your eye a little bit, and you can see that one question, the answer to that one question. And what's one question? I mean, you had 100 questions. What would it hurt to look at one? That's what Satan's trying to get you to do. It's not right, but he wants you to look over there. You know what? The next time, it's going to be a lot easier. Each time you give in to temptation, it gets easier. That's temptation. We live our lives constantly surrounded by temptation. There's no place on earth you can go and escape it. The devil is the one who tempts us. Temptation is an invitation from Satan to give in to his kind of life and to give up God's life. He's not going to be content as long as you are serving the Lord. Satan tempted Eve, and he succeeded in getting her to sin. He's been busy getting people to sin ever since. But let me share with you some good news. While God doesn't tempt us, he does have the ability to limit the power of temptations. Just because it's in our nature to give in to temptations, the world puts before us, it doesn't mean we have to give in. Just because the temptation's there, you do not have to give in to that temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." The word bear means power. In other words, God gives us the power to stand up against temptation. And the power we need to win the battle over temptation doesn't lie in our own strength, but it's the power that comes from the Lord himself. A few years ago, on New Year's Day, at the Tournament of Roses parade, before the Rose Bowl, there was a beautiful float that suddenly sputtered and stopped. And it was such a big one that nobody else could get around it. So the whole parade had to sit. And what the problem was, it was out of gas. And the amusing thing was that this particular float represented Standard Oil Company, a company that had plenty of reserves of oil and gas, but the float didn't have it. It was there, but they didn't have it. And the same way with us. God has all the power, and we need to seek that power. And if we don't, it's not there. So even though the float represented a company that had all the answers, their tank was empty. And Jesus has all the resources, and he wants to share them with us. But those resources and his power won't make a bit of difference unless we're willing to tap into them. And you say, well, how do I tap into them? First of all, you seek him. James 4, 7, and 8 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." James also says, "Get rid of all the moral filth and evil." He says, not merely to listen to the word, but and deceive yourself, but do what it says. When God's word says, do this or don't do that, we ought to do that. And that's what James is saying. Obey God's word. No matter what you're tempted to do, what does God say about that? Because you're always going to be tempted. But if God's word says something is wrong, it doesn't matter how tempted you are, it's still wrong. If God says something is right, it's right. And we need to follow God's way. The third point, there's always a way out. Again, 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Doesn't matter what the temptation is, no matter what you're facing today, there is a way out of it. God will provide a way of escape for you if you're struggling with a particular temptation. He'll provide a way out so you can keep from giving in to it. Notice what the verse says. It doesn't say he will show you a way. It says he provides a way. It's a big difference. He will provide the way, but you got to look for it. And when you look for it, you're going to find it. When you look for it, you're taking your eyes off of the temptation and putting it somewhere else. And then you seek his will, and he will give you the strength and the power to say no. When you look away, it's going to take your eyes off the temptation. Look at Joseph. Here was a young man who his brothers had sold him into slavery. He ended up in Egypt. Everything he did was successful, so he was promoted again, like I said earlier, to second man in the whole country. Unfortunately for Joseph, though, Potiphar's wife took a liking to him. And day after day, she tried to get Joseph to sleep with her. And one day, she got so bold that she grabbed him and held on to him and wouldn't let him go. Now, Joseph was a long way from home. He was a long way from his father's authority. He didn't have anybody looking over his shoulder. She was the wife of his master. So shouldn't he have done what she said to do? I mean, she was the boss. Shouldn't he have been willing to do that? She had him trapped. He was physically trapped because she was holding on to his cloak. Joseph was a young man, and young men have urges. So he had a perfect excuse. He was trapped. If ever there was no way out of temptation, it was now. And how did he respond? He refused to buy in to her lie. He found the way out, and he took it. He ran. And sometimes that's what we have to do, folks. Sometimes temptation is so strong that what we have to do is do just like Joseph did and run. Joseph had made a decision a long time ago that he was going to be pure in his life and that he was going to honor God. So when the temptation came, Joseph knew what he was going to do. He was going to escape. He was going to run. And sometimes that's the best thing that we can do. Many great people have been totally destroyed by temptation because they didn't run from it. They thought, I can handle this. And they kept hanging around and ended up giving in to sin. Marriages have been falling apart. Relationships have been totally severed. Respect in the community has been lost. But it does not have to be that way. We have the power, if we just seek it, to overcome temptation. So one more point in closing, I want to just share some very simple principles with you that will help all of us win the battle with temptation. The first principle, if you want to win the battle against temptation, change your thinking. You know, sometimes we just sit and meditate on something we know we shouldn't, and it keeps coming to mind, and we don't just turn it aside, we just keep right on. And the more you think about it, the easier it's going to be to give in to it. That's where sin begins. It's the best, and so that's the best place to start. Deal with the things you're thinking about. Change those things that you desire. Eliminate the forbidden. Don't dwell on your sinful desires. Once your mind focuses and dwells on a particular temptation, you're in real danger of going all the way. I read a story. I shared it with our Thursday afternoon Bible study the other day. I read about a man who was going to go on a diet. And he did like a lot of people do. They wanted everybody to know. We have a friend who goes on a diet about every other month, and he puts it all over Facebook. You know, he's going on this diet, and he is really going to do great, and then he quits talking about it, and you know he's going back off. And that's how this guy was. He told everybody he was on a diet. He was not eating any sweets whatsoever, and he did pretty good. But then one day, he walked into work, and he had a huge cake in his hand. He had a coffee cake, and it was covered with icing and nuts and just huge thing. And he had told all of his coworkers, you know, I don't eat any sweets anymore. And so one of the coworkers said, I thought you were on a diet. And he answered, he said, oh, this is different. He said, you see, this morning I was driving by the bakery, and I said to God, God, if you want me to stop, please allow there to be a parking spot in front of the bakery. And sure enough, my seventh trip around the block, there was a spot in front of the bakery. That man was entertaining temptation. Folks, we do the same thing. Lord, if you want me to do this, do so and so. And we keep on till we get a hint that it might be all right, but that's not coming from the Lord. So we need to make sure that we change our thinking. And then limit your opportunities. If you have a sin that's baiting you, that is luring you, you don't need to stand around and let it bring you in. Do whatever it takes to get away from it. Run if you have to, just like Joseph did. The Bible says flee from immorality. Flee from the things that cause you to stumble and fall. Third principle, pray for the strength to resist. You see, Joseph didn't start praying when she started that day to grab his shirt and not let him go. Joseph had already been praying. He had already made up his mind. How can I do this? How can I offend the Lord? How can I do this sin? And we need to start praying, Lord, deliver me from evil. Lord, help me to fight this temptation. Help me to overcome it, Lord. We need to start praying now that God will give us the strength to escape from temptation before we actually face it. You might think that a little glance here and there on the internet's not going to be a problem. A little drink here or there isn't going to get you hooked again. A little lie here or there isn't going to make any difference. Copying just one answer on a test won't hurt anything. Taking this without paying for it and asking permission is okay because they're not using it anyway. We can justify just about anything we do if we try hard enough, but that still doesn't make it right. We need to avoid temptation. Leadership Magazine had an interesting article on how an Eskimo kills a wolf. The first thing that Eskimo does is he coats his knife in animal blood and allows it to freeze. And then he adds another coat of blood and lets it freeze and keeps on until the entire knife is covered with animal blood. And then he takes a knife and puts the handle down in the ground with nothing but the blade sticking up. And after a while, the wolf follows his nose and he finds the source of what he's smelling. And so he starts licking that blood. And he gets so excited, he starts to lick faster, lapping the blade until the edge is bare. And because he's so caught up in licking the blood, and because it's so cold, he doesn't realize the sting on the knife is on his tongue. He doesn't realize that. Nor does he notice that the blood he's now drinking is his own blood. His appetite just craves more and more until the Eskimo comes the next morning and finds the wolf dead in the snow. And that's how we can end up if we're not careful. Just a little bit. This won't hurt. If I do this, just this little bit, I'll be okay. But like I said earlier, the second time, it's a little bit easier. And after a while, you do it, and you don't think anything about it. And so we need to avoid temptation. That's why God in his love toward us has given us rules to follow about right and wrong. They're meant to keep us and others from harm. Joseph knew that, and he believed it. He knew that by giving in to Potiphar's wife, he'd be sinning against her, her husband, himself, and most of all, God. And he refused to give in. We need that same attitude. I will not sin against my God. Fourth principle. Run, sometimes literally. Sometimes in life we have to run from those things that are not of God and are not in his will for us. Genesis 39, verse 10 through 12 says, Joseph left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. We need to flee sometime. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee from youthful lust. And final principle, just say no when confronted with what we know is wrong. No matter how desirable something is, how alluring, how appealing, how tantalizing or inviting that sin may be, we must not commit it. We must not give in to the temptation. We can't be suckered into Satan's web of deceit. Nothing in the world is worth our souls or our godly reputations. Sometimes resisting temptation is as simple as saying no, and we need to learn to say no anytime we're tempted. James 1 verse 12 says, gives us the blessings and rewards for those who don't give in to temptation. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I want that crown of life. I don't want to give in to temptation, no matter how strong it is. We need to learn to say no, sometimes just run from it. So in closing, let me remind you, temptation is not a sin. We're all tempted every day. What I'm tempted to do may not tempt anybody else in here. And what you're tempted to do may not affect anybody else, but it affects you. And you need to learn to say no. So temptation is not a sin. Temptation is not all powerful. It doesn't control you. And there's always a way out. And we need to always keep our eyes on the Lord and draw that strength and that power from him to say no. We need to avoid temptation. So I encourage you, whatever you're facing today, let God help you with it. Don't try to do it on your own. We don't have all the answers, but he does. And he's all powerful. So let God help you in your time of temptation. So bless you this week as you go out from this place. Just trust the Lord and let him help you in all that you do. And seek opportunities to be a help to someone else. And we're going to have our musicians come in just a second and whatever song we're going to sing. And if God has spoken to your heart, if there's a need that you have, I encourage you to come today and let one of us pray with you. And God will help you. You just need to trust him.